Hello, Pastor Deborah here, and I am recording this, and if you hear any thunder in the background, it is because we're under a thunderstorm warning, and it's been storming and raining this morning. I'm coming to you with another part of my personal story called It's Time. We're in part number 13, and this is story number 28 in the School of Light. You can see this story written out on the website of www.agapeloveishere.org in the Kingdom of Agape Love, Volume 1. I'm working through all my stories, and when we finish Volume 1, we'll start Volume 2, Personal True Stories of Helping People the Lord's Way. Here in this part, number 13, we're going to pick up with my personal story called It's Time. And I want to give you a little background. It's been many episodes since I read this, so I want to read it to you. This story involves the story about sacrificing my only biological son as Abraham was asked by God about his only biological son, Isaac, who he had had with Sarah in his later years. I think they were both about 99 years old, in obedience to God. Jan, the name and identity of who I was at this time, was asked if I loved God as much as I said I did, and did I love one Satanist as much as I said and prayed I did. Read about these stories again in Volume 1, entitled, So Many Hands, Just So Many Hands. I, of course, immediately answered yes. I would sacrifice myself and my only biological son to the Lord in obedience to his request in a satanic meeting to save just one of them, his precious lost spiritual ones, in the kingdom of darkness to him. So just like Abraham did, I spiritually, in my heart and mind and soul, brought down the knife and killed my only biological son. Oh, I didn't kill him in the natural. It was a work in the spirit and in my soul, who was just 12 years of age at that time. I had spiritually, emotionally, and in my soul, gave myself, Chan, and my son as love offerings to God in obedience to his request. So now in my own heart and mind and soul, I and my only son of 12 years of age were sacrificed as a love offerings to God in obedience to his request. Now years later, as my earthly father was failing in health, for he was about 90 years old and had just fallen and broken his neck, I had to become his legal power of attorney because he could no longer manage his financial affairs. So I had to step in. Of course, spiritually, I knew that both God and Satan were watching me to see how I would handle my father's money, because he had almost $1 million and 2 houses. Both were watching, but not saying one word to me about how to manage his financial affairs. They were watching to see if I would handle them in righteousness, in honor, in dignity, and glory, and not try to steal from my father. And would I do it out of agape love and care with great righteousness? Or would I steal his money out of lust and greed? So I managed all his affairs correctly and even gave all the money he left me and the house to my son. I kept nothing for myself. I made sure his son, my brother, got all that my father's will stated he was to get. I did it all in righteousness and holiness, and there was no open door to Satan through greed or selfishness or lust or coveting. As I started on this new journey for me, I had to present to all of my father's insurances, his banks, his assisted living centers, his medical doctors, military retirement departments, funeral home, hospice, social security, all my official documents for being his legal power of attorney for his financial matters. So I had to send copies of my driver's license, military ID card, copy of his power of attorney, and my official legal name was Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Jan, J-A-N, Schleich, S-C-H-L-E-I-C-H. My official name was not Jan. The spiritual transition to a new identity was beginning. Into a new identity, Deborah, not Jan. The Most High God told me at this time, in 2007, that was a long time ago, I was in a spiritual identity transition to become Deborah. This transition took 2 years and a lot of hard work on my part, for I didn't know who I was as Deborah. I only knew myself as Jan, for that was the name I chose for myself many, many years ago in elementary school, the fifth grade to be exact. So now we're going to pick up in this part, part number 13 of the story, It's Time. Go back and watch the other parts so you'll understand what a spiritual transition looks like, a new birth. All right, let's get started. We had been working in scriptures to help you as I work through them myself to understand spiritual transition. I began with studying my name, D-E-B-O-R-A-H. Deborah was a Hebrew name. It meant judge. So I had to go study Deborah in the Old Testament. God was unique. He gave me a father named Joseph, which is Hebrew, and a mother named Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. Both were biblical. So I began my journey in studying names. I ended up in Judges 4, 1 through 14 in the Old Testament. One thing you will have to learn in becoming a new creature, a new person, upon healing. If you don't know, I had spent 2 years prior to this at home so God could heal me of 30 to 40 years of ick. I could not go out in the community. I could just stay at home, read, watch TV, walk in the yard, cut the grass, but no community volunteering, no job. When you're in transition, God will isolate you. He will do it in the spirit, in your soul, and He will help you at each step of the way. So we're going to pick up in Judges 4, 1 through 14. In the Old Testament, Deborah was a judge. She was a ruler, a leader, a judge, a warrior of her people. So let's listen. Verse number 1. And the children of the land of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ethod, the judge, was dead. Early on, God gave us judges. The Israelites didn't want an unseen spiritual God to be their judge or their warrior or their king. They wanted an earthly judge like everybody else. And it got messed up. And it's still messed up here in the world today. Verse 2. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar, the captain of whose host, his army, was Caesarea, which dwelt and lived in Harosheth of the Gentiles. Verse 3. That's not good. When you get sold into the hand of others. Verse 3. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he, this king, Caesarea, the king of Canaan, had 900 chariots of iron, mighty war machine, army, military. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Verse number 4. And Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, a prophetess. I learned that I was a prophetess, just like Deborah in the Old Testament. And that's what the name means, one of the many. The wife of Lappidoth, she judged Israel at that time. What had happened is Israelites would not judge themselves. So God created judges to look at what we have done from a righteous set of eyes and ears and judge us according to God's laws, not man's or anybody else's. Verse number 5. And she, Deborah, dwelt and lived under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Beth-El Mount, Ephraim, Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. A judge will always sit up high, as you notice in a courtroom. A judge will be isolated from the people. He will not do what most normal, ordinary people do. You won't see a judge out in the bars or probably out in the sports arenas or at music concerts. They stay isolated. They read. They study. They stay with their families. They keep their eyes in the book of the law, studying, praying, being an intercessor for humanity. Verse number 6. And she, Deborah, sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kadesh, Naphtali. Now please forgive me if I'm not saying these Jewish words, these Hebrew words correctly. I don't really speak Hebrew. And said unto him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. So Deborah becomes a king in a way, ordering people, commanding people. As a righteous judge, she is looking. She will call forth the soldiers, the warriors, to go forth and do battle. Verse number 7. And I will draw unto you, says Deborah, to the river Kishon, Caesarea, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hand. Deborah was a mighty warrior. She was sharp and keen, and she said, I will draw unto you. I will bring them. That's some things going on behind the scene, sort of. And verse 8, and Barak said unto her, Deborah, if you will go with me, then I'll go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. Deborah represented God. So Barak was saying, God, if you will not go with me, if you will not have your emissary, your judge, go with me, then I'm not going. How many of you do that when you do things? You ask God to go with you. Most of you don't. You just go alone. Verse number 9. And Deborah said, I will surely go with you. Remember, God was with, in, and with, as a partner, the judges. He established them. They were his judges. They were his mouthpiece to the Israelites. God and the judges were one. Notwithstanding the journey that you take shall not be for your honor, said Deborah to Barak. For the Lord shall sell Caesarea into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Verse number 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali and Kedesh, and they went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with them. This is a shadow of God going with us. First, God giving us an order to go, and then God going with us. Verse number 11. Now Heber the Canaanite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zanim, which is by Kadesh. Not sure why that was important information, but it is. Verse 12. And they, Heber, the Canaanite, showed Caesarea that Barak, the son of Abinon, was gone up to Mount Tabor. When you go, and God goes with you, many people will know that he is with you. Verse 13. And Caesarea gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harusha of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. Verse 14. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this day in which the Lord has delivered Caesarea into your hand. There's the prophetess part. Because God told Deborah he was going to deliver some people into the hands of Barak. Is not the Lord gone out before you? How many of you can trust the Lord to go before you in battle, to win, to fight for you? See, that was the thing the judges did. They spoke to us, but the Israelites didn't want God to go as a warrior before them or to even judge them. They just wanted an earthly king like all the other nations. They wanted an earthly judge like all the other nations. And they didn't want God to go before them, so they got in some trouble. But during the time of the judges, when Deborah was arising, this partnership, this God working with his people, was getting reestablished. Is not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. It had been a long time since God went before his people. They didn't want him. You'll read that in 2 Samuel. And that's when the kings, the earthly kings, came about. But God was restoring himself with humanity. Judges 5, 1 through 7, verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, verse 2, Praise you the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Verse 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O our princesses. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. verse number 4. Lord, when you went out of Seir, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. When God's on the move sometimes, the earth will shake, maybe with thunder, earthquakes, and the heavens and the clouds, thunderstorms, rain, darkness. God sometimes is at work with and through the weather. The weather will respond to his moving, just as it will respond to Satan. So you have to ask, who is behind the weather, God or Satan? Who's behind the storms, the tornadoes, the whirlwinds of destruction, the earthquakes, the floods? It's one or the other. For the weather serves whoever is the righteous one. The weather serves, but sometimes Satan takes it captive and uses it for his pleasure. Verse 5, the mountain melted before the Lord, even the Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Was that a volcano? Was that lava throwing? Was that the mountain shaking? Landslides, earthquakes? I'll just leave that to your imagination to figure out. Verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Antha, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. Just giving us a time frame. Verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that arose a mother of Israel. The judges were mothers. Judges are the first teachers. Mothers are the first judge of your behavior, your character. They sort of read you the laws when they speak to you at their breast, when they're teaching you. Mothers are more important in your early childhood than the fathers. The fathers are seen as strict disciplinarians, rough, harsh, hardly around, but not the mother. The mother was always the judge of your behaviors, guiding you and leading you. She was a hidden judge. Even when you grow up, you will remember your mother's teachings. Now, in learning about myself as Deborah, I was taken off to the Webster's Dictionary to learn more of who this Deborah was, who I was spiritually transitioning from Jan. So I began with the word judge that I saw Deborah was from the Bible. Webster's Dictionary defines the word judge as 1. To perform as 1. To form an opinion about through careful weighing of evidence and testing of premises. 2. To sit in judgment on something. To try it. To test it. 3. To determine or pronounce after inquiry and deliberation. 4. To govern, to rule a Hebrew tribal leader. 5. To form an estimate or evaluation of something. 6. To hold as an opinion, a guess, to think. 7. To decide as a judge. 8. One who judges, a tribal hero exercising leadership among the Hebrews after the death of Joshua. 9. One appointed to decide in a contest or competition, an umpire. 10. one who gives an authoritative opinion. Webster's Dictionary also defined the word judgment for me as, number one, a formal utterance of an authoritative opinion. B, an opinion so pronounced. Two, a formal decision given by a court. Three, a certificate evidencing such a decree. Four, the final judging of mankind by God. Five, a divine sentence or decision. Six, a calamity held, believed to be sent by God. Seven, a process of forming an opinion or evaluation by discerning and comparing. B, an opinion so formed. Number eight, the capacity for judging, discernment. B, the exercise of this capacity. Number nine, a preposition starting something believed or asserted. Phew! So much. I, Deborah, not Jan, had to take in and learn and spiritually understand, but take it in all I did. Then off to the Gospels I went to see what judgment from a spiritual man looked and sounded like, and what it exactly was through my spiritual teacher and rabbi, Jesus, and who I was taken on through the mind of Christ. And we will pick that one up in the next part of It's Time. Part number 15, I believe, in story number 28, here in the School of Light, the Kingdom of Agape Love, Volume 1, in this personal story of Pastor Deborah called It's Time. And I want to end this with a prayer for you. If you too know that you are going through transition, you will change your name, you will cut up your old photographs of your old life, the past will fade from you, the loves you have, the hurts, the wounds, they will all be healed, and you'll be a new creature, never existed before. But first you must die by your own hands, by your own will. You must give up the old you. You won't know who the new you is yet, but you will learn. Study your name like I did. Look it up. Understand. And then take time and transition to the new you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you helping Deborah to come alive. Oh, the test that would come to see if Jan would come back alive. But thank you for each and every time for the victory. And thank you for helping me to understand what being new in Christ meant, what death of the old me was, what healing from the past was about. Thank you. And as we continue on with Pastor Deborah's story, continue to help the others who are listening to understand what spiritual transition looks like from the old to the new, from the dead to alive, through you, the Most High God. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, I'll see you on the next episode of It's Time. Bye-bye.